It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 35 of season 2 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We've got all kinds of things to talk about, all kinds of high school sports, baseball, softball, soccer, track. We've got the NCAA Final Four. Who won that? We'll find out in a few minutes. Yeah, we'll save that for later. But right now we got to talk about the number 35. We're going to start off with Tony. Tony, who's your favorite number 35?
Of the ones listed here, I'm old school. I'd probably have to go with Phil Niekro.
Okay.
Phil Niekro made a career, him and his brother both, out of throwing knuckleballs and not throwing very hard. I kind of respect people like that. And he threw a bunch of innings. You know, there wasn't a pitch count then. So I kind of like Phil Niekro.
He's a good one. You got one?
My favorite one listed here would be Justin Verlander. He's married to a supermodel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good reason for him. Yeah. Who cares what his number is, right? He's number one somewhere.
He's a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah, he is a good pitcher. He really is a good pitcher. And just forgot to mention, in addition to our normal crew, we've got one of our sponsors here, Cody Tedford from Toad Thumper Lures. And Cody, you got a favorite number 35?
I do. On the list, I like Frank Thomas, but my favorite 35 has got to be Reggie Lewis.
Okay. I wonder why. He likes green, doesn't he?
Yeah. I do, too. There's nothing wrong with green.
No, there's not.
Huh? He played with Larry Bird. He's definitely the best.
He knew that was coming.
Oh, man. We'll talk about that. We'll get into that later on. But, you know, out of these, and I hate to say this because he played at Texas, but I've always liked to watch Kevin Durant play basketball.
Ranker had him number one as well.
Yeah. He's just smooth when he's playing well, you know. And
for our three hockey fans, Tony Esposito wore number 5.
Right. Yep. Tony Esposito.
I seen that name and I was sure he was on that 75 Cincinnati Reds.
That was a different Tony.
Tony, you're thinking of Ed Armbrister.
Who was the one that got hit in the eye? Tony Caligiero? How do you say his name?
That's about right.
That was close enough.
It was really close. Yeah. I know what you're talking
about. You know, it ruined his career, right?
It did.
Yep. Yep. He was a Red Sox, though, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway,
you should
just go Razorback, man.
Arkansas Razorbacks. The first one from, man, the years are fuzzy, but Scott Hastings.
Was he 35? Early 80s.
Early 80s. And I looked him up last night in the NBA. He played off and on for 5 or 6 years, averaged 2 point something points a game. I mean, he was a solid Razorback.
My uncle Greg played with Scott. Greg Skullman. He played on the.
Greg Skullman's your uncle?
He is, yeah.
You know, I played basketball with him.
Really?
Yeah. He's a dentist, or he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, you know, we played at, I met him at Razorback camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played up there. Yeah, he wouldn't remember me, but I remember him because he obviously was a great.
He might remember you. He might say, there was this one kid. I scored like 40 on him.
Yeah. Yeah,
football wise,
nobody scored 40 on me.
Greg actually got MVP of the state tournament when he was a senior, and they lost in the championship game.
That's crazy. Yeah. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
Very often.
No, he was a great basketball player, though. He really was. The guy could jump.
Mm-hmm.
He could really jump.
40-inch vertical.
Yeah, he was great. Who else you got? I'm sorry,
James Rouse.
He was number 35.
He was in
the
backfield with Barry Foster.
Yeah.
Went on to play for the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
He have a better work ethic than Barry Foster?
I'm sure.
He was not quite as talented. He didn't last as long in the NFL as Barry Foster did.
The Steelers kept waiting on Barry Foster to reach his potential.
Well, of course, he played for the Chicago Bears when they weren't any good, too. So that you know, if you don't have a good line, you're not going to last long as a running back.
Well, he probably
you
came
Walter
along.
Payton that?
Chicago Bears, he probably came along after Neil Anderson, who was number 35 and took Walter Payton's place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, man, we could go on and on with some.
Man, just imagine if Neil Anderson had ran behind a good line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 36 next week's going to be hard on the Razorback board.
Oh, it's easy for me, the bus.
Yeah. Gave him a little old outlook for next week.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, y'all ready to move on to high school for a while? Let's talk about the Leopards first. Leopards 11-1 on the year, 4-0 in conference play. They swept Hope last week and only allowed one run the last four games. Lady Leopards undefeated at this point, 7-0, and 4-0 in the conference. They swept Hope also. Both teams had a game yesterday as we record this on Tuesday.
Both won.
Lady Leopards beat Horatio, I believe, 16-10, right, Tony?
That's correct.
And then the
missed the extra point.
Yeah. Leopards beat Fountain Lake.
Yes, 2-0.
2-0, and Sam Graham pitched a one-hitter. Great game by Sam there. And this week, big week for the Leopards. They're playing the Scrappers and Scrapperettes twice as we play through that idiotic conference schedule. I'm sorry.
Is that the official name?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. You know that.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not a big fan of it. But anyway, that's the way they do it. So they got games tonight in DeQuain and then Friday in Nashville. So it's a big week for the conference because both those teams probably have their eyes on winning the conference in both softball and baseball.
Absolutely. I've talked to both coaches, especially the way they, you know, you and I start looking at the other side and the other teams in the region. Coaches claim that they don't, but they do.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
It's going to be a big advantage, especially in softball, talking to Coach Lights to be a 1 or a 2 versus a 3 or 4. And it usually is, but sometimes it doesn't matter. Like in basketball, it doesn't matter. So it didn't matter this year because our conference won all the games. But this year in softball, it's going to be a real big deal.
Well, so a big game, big games this week. Well, Tony, anything else you can think of? Who are we going with for our shelter insurance agency?
Well, our game, a game tonight, which is the game we're doing on KDQN tonight, is Nashville and DeQuain baseball, and that's our DeQuain Motorsports game of the week.
Thank you.
So we don't want to forget about Freddie.
And
Freddie would love for you to come and see him.
Yeah, don't forget.
For some reason, especially if you have a horse. And I figured that out.
If you got a horse, you can get 15% off a zero-turn mower.
Yeah. So, I can't even get anybody. I can't get Ellie to lend me her horse.
Yeah, I bet she will if she can catch it. I don't know. She hadn't ridden in it so long. She's wanting to get back into it. Basketball's over. So she told me the other day, she said, I'm gonna come out Saturday and take my prom pictures with my horse. Most girls do it with boys, but she's going to do it with a horse.
Boys give her the ick.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, our DeQuain Motorsports game of the week, Nashville and DeQuain baseball today, as we talk on Tuesday. We still got to give out the shelter insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
We're going to go with the aforementioned Sam Graham. Threw a one-hitter yesterday against Fountain Lake. Has just been killing the ball at the plate. I think he hit a dinger last week. I mean, he's just he's a senior. He's one of the few seniors on the Leopard team. And congratulations, Sam.
Congratulations, Sam. And we move on.
And next, I suppose we'll talk about our oldest sponsor that we have on the podcast. And probably we can just go ahead and say all of our sponsors today are sponsoring the 2025 4A state champions, the Lady Leopards. It's DeQuain Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQuain Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQuain, 870-642-8387. Call and schedule your appointments today. Also, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Big Leopards fans, big Leopards supporters over there, and big supporters of the podcast. We appreciate them for that. Southwest Arkansas is, of course, covered for all of your veterinary needs. Go to their Facebook pages and give them a like and a follow on there. And if you've utilized their services before, make sure that you drop a review on Google or on Facebook about how pleasant the experience it was, I'm sure. store it was. And yeah, man, you can utilize them for all of your routine needs, emergencies. Maybe you just got a brand new puppy and you want to make sure he's healthy and got all his shots and everything like that. They can take care of that for you. Plus, it's that time. So flea and tick medication is something to be aware of right now. So getting all that for very affordable prices and very easy at DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown
Veterinary Clinic. Kenny and Jennifer right there rooting on the Lady Leopards Friday. Yeah, over on the, you know, with Greg and I were on the press row side, so the leopard section was on the other side of us, so we could see
that was cool.
A lot of people that was there. It was incredible.
Yeah. So you could see them going crazy. Yes. I love that.
Yeah, it was very, really very cool.
Yeah, they show up and show out for leopards every time. So if you're here in Southwest Arkansas, man, you need to utilize their services. They are absolutely amazing. Very pleasant people to deal with, and just fantastic folks who provide a great service for all of your pets, big or small, here in Sevier County and Little River County and the surrounding areas.
That's right.
Shouldn't stop you. Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, DeQueen Animal Hospital, we thank them so much for sponsoring the podcast and sticking with us all the way through this championship win. Yeah. But now we have a very special guy on the line. Let's talk to Jim Cross.
Jim, good to hear from you. Sir.
Hey, good to be with you guys today. It's been a week or two, and several games since then, and it's been a good week for the Ashdown Panther boys team. They went to Joe T. Robinson and played four games against four really good teams and came away with three victories. Beat Woodlawn 8-3, Batesville 5-2, Stuttgart 8-2, and lost to Gurdon 5-4 after getting behind 5-0. And that was the first game of the four games, and Coach O'Bannon was just tickled with the effort and, you know, getting to go on the road like that and play four really good teams. Woodlawn's always a state champion contender in their division, and then Batesville and Stuttgart, they're as good as you'll find. And so those were some really good measuring sticks for the Panthers.
Sounds like they had a great week.
They did. And then they came back, and we played two conference games against Harmony Grove and Center Point and won both of those handily, 15-1 and 10-0. And in between that, we played Hooks on Monday, and I did that game, and they lost 4-2. But Hooks is a good team. There's a good pitcher's duel. It's a very well-played game. It's just kind of one of those games that you're just kind of one hit away, you know, from coming away with a victory. But I think in non-conference, those games help you more than they hurt you. And that just kind of happens. But the guys are playing well. A big bonus for the team is Kyler Jones, our senior right-handed pitcher. He'd been hurt earlier in the season, and he's back full speed now. And he was the winner against Batesville, and has pitched well ever since. And so we need him with addition to Walt Jones and Jared Baker to kind of be our big three to get us, you know, to get us to where we need to go. And so Kyler Jones, getting him back healthy, is huge for the Panthers.
Well, that's great.
Boy, they've been on a, like, I think y'all have played more games in the last 10 days than the Pirates have. Y'all been on a Major League Baseball pace.
Yeah, we played some games.
Yeah.
And last night beat Harmony Grove, came in Harmony Grove 15-1. Walt Jones and Gunnar Altenbaumer had home runs, and they played well. The game I did, Tyler Porter had a couple hits, so he's hitting the ball well. And so the hitting's starting to come around. And the pitching, as you can see by the scores, I mean, we haven't given up more than five runs in any game in the last six or seven games. So, you know, high school baseball, you're giving up less than four or five runs a game.
You're going to be in the ball game.
Yeah. So Jim, the pitching's been good.
Have you guys seen enough conference games to know who? I know you guys are probably one of the teams to beat in the conference in baseball, but who else might be?
Well, this week we play a makeup game against Bismarck Wednesday. In my understanding, Bismarck's pretty good. They're better than Center Point and Harmony Grove. And then I've kind of been told that Genoa is probably going to be the our biggest competition, and we play them Friday at home.
Well, as if I think we saw Genoa, didn't we, Greg, in the Leopards benefit game, and they were able to hang with us. They're very good.
Okay, so I think we'll know more about the conference after Wednesday and Friday, because nothing against Harmony Grove and Center Point, but they're two of the weaker teams, so we really haven't played, you know, one of the better teams yet. So we'll see.
Sounds good. Moving on to the Lady Panthers, how'd they do, Jim?
Well, I tell you, I sound like a broken record here. I feel as bad about a team as I've ever felt. They're sweet girls. They try hard, and they're young, just behind the eight ball, and they're getting beat pretty consistently in five innings, and it's just been a tough row. They lost, I believe, 15-0 yesterday to Harmony Grove, and Center Point beat them 10-0, but it was a 1-0 game going to the fifth. And so defensively they're getting a lot better. It's just we just don't have a lot of speed, and our hitting is kind of struggles from time to time. And so you just kind of hope that for their sake they can put one game together and maybe come away with a victory. So I'm not sure in the conference, I've been told that maybe we can play with Prescott. So we'll see. We'll see when we play them later in the season.
Aren't you guys extremely young as well?
Oh yeah. It's I think they're all 9th and 10th graders, and so
if you're going to have a down year, be young. You know.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't want to have a down year with 7 seniors. So
no, you don't.
Well, and they just got to keep their head up, and keep improving. And I think that eventually those efforts will show.
Yeah, and guys, like I say, I've done 4 or 5 of their games, and their attitudes are good. They stay, as positive as possible, and even the fans are kind of realistic in what we're dealing with. So it's not a lot of complaining and belly aching, and everybody appreciates Coach Prince and what he's doing. And I told him the other day, I said, "You must be the most positive man in the state of Arkansas," because he never gets upset with them. And the only time he questions them is if he thinks they're not giving effort. But, if they strike out, he's coaching them up and talking them to them. If they make an error, he's coaching them up. And so he is the perfect person, for this job. And I think with him, I hope he stays. If he stays around, I think we'll see the fruits of his labor on down the line.
Yeah,
right. Switching gears just for a second, how about our two track girls? How they do this?
They're doing great. They're dominating. I don't know any exact times or anything, but from what I see, I saw that they qualified for the state in a couple different events already, and they're pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to mention them as Amari Aron and LaKenya Williams, right?
Yeah. You know, one time I was as fast as them, then I woke up from my dream. So
yeah, I understand.
I'm telling you, those girls, and what's so cool about it, they're even better people. I mean, they're just as humble and nice, yes sir, no sir kind of guy. I mean, kind of ladies, and they're great in the classroom. I mean, they're the epitome of what a student athlete should be.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Jim, do you got a Domtar Panther Player of the Week for us this week?
Well, I could give it to about 3 or 4 guys, but I'm going to give it to Kyler Jones. And I think with his big game against Batesville last week, that gave the Panthers a kind of a little boost of energy to say, okay, now we've got our third big star pitcher here with him and Walt Jones and Jared Baker. And then you got Gunnar Altenbaumer and Cutter Dollarhide coming out of the bullpen. So you got really 5 guys. But Kyler's a guy that he can throw 6-7 innings, and he's kind of a bulldog kind of mentality. And so let's give it to Kyler Jones.
Okay. And who did you tell me had home runs? There were a couple of guys.
Gunnar Altenbaumer and Walt Jones.
Okay.
And Walt's had a couple of home runs. I forget. They both had home runs yesterday,
right.
And I believe Walt had a home run at Center Point as well.
Okay,
and he had another home run at one of the games at Pulaski Robinson. So he's got 4 or 5 home runs already.
All right. Well, that sounds great. You got anything else for us, Jim?
Well, it's just looking forward to Wednesday and Friday. I think it'll tell us a lot with our boys' team I think the fruit of this deal at Joe T. Robinson is going to pay off for us on down the line when we get to regional and state.
Well, it sounds like you got some pitching back, and that's going to always benefit you as you move through the conference season. One more thing before we let you go, Jim. I just want to mention you got your walk this Saturday.
Yes, sir.
You want to talk about that just for a second?
Yeah, we're doing our annual 30-mile walk. We raise money for various charities in town. And one of the biggest things we do is we pass out 400 pair of shoes to kids in Little River County beginning of the school year. We do scholarships for kids, free camps, money to the city park, museum, library, things of that nature. And we've already raised about $30,000 already. Wow.
And you haven't even walked.
I hadn't walked yet.
Yeah.
One of the guys in my church, Isaac Davis, told me, he said, I don't give you the money until after the walk. He said, I want to see you finish.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, and I just wanted to tell you, I'm going to donate $1,000 a mile for every mile Jeff Tuttle walks. He's going to walk with you.
Oh, well, good. Well, thanks, but Jeff.
I think I'm pretty safe, and I won't have to donate any.
When was this again? This coming Saturday?
Yeah,
busy. This coming Saturday.
They've got me doing softball on the radio.
Oh, man.
Oh, shoot.
Well, but that'll be in the afternoon.
What about if you donate $1,000 for every walk in that softball game?
No.
Well, there you go.
I don't think I could do that. I thought I was pretty safe if I put a mile on Tuttle. I think he's like me. I don't think he can make it a mile. It'd take a lot of effort, wouldn't it, Jeff?
A lot.
Yeah, that's right. Man, I know that everybody in Ashdown, Little River County, and just the surrounding area appreciates you, Jim. Great. Thing you do in there for the community and just looks like it's going to be a wonderful day for a walk.
Oh, that's great. I'm so excited that I'm glad I didn't do it last Saturday.
Yeah, No kidding.
It would have been a swim.
Yeah, that's right.
It would have been, yeah. And I'm not a very good swimmer either. So yeah.
Jim, we're going to let you go, man. Thank you for all the good Panther information and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, you guys have a great week.
You too.
Take care, Jim. Bye.
And now we're going to talk about the Lions and the Lady Lions from Horatio. The Lions, 2-11 on the year, 2-3 in conference. They had a loss 10-0 to Murfreesboro, and they have three conference games this week. Lady Lions, 5-7, and last night lost to the Lady Leopards 16-10. And so I'm sure they've got three conference games this week also, Tony.
And a tournament.
Yeah. They do, and they're going to play host to Dirks and Mountain Pine this week. So, some big games in Horatio this week.
It is. If you're a baseball softball, and the weather's going to be beautiful, get out and support those kids.
Yep. And we're going to go with Trey Smith, who's batting .364 for the Lions, as our Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week. And we appreciate Horatio State Bank for all they do for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the air and for the kids of the area.
Not the first time we've talked about Trey.
No, it's not. And it probably won't be the last time either. No. I think he played a little basketball.
He did.
A little football.
He did.
Yep. Now he's playing a little baseball. So, great.
Probably runs track for him.
Yeah, probably. He's probably a pole vaulter. You know, he's a little bitty guy. I don't think he's a little bit. He's a good sized young man.
Yeah,
but does a great job, and we've been talking about him all year long. Congratulations to him on being the Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week, and that moves us on to the Foreman Gators. Foreman Gators 5-6 on the year, 3-3 in conference. Lady Gators 5-4 on the year, and they're 1-0 in conference. And that one win was the Dirks Lady Outlaws. They beat them 11-2. That's their first conference win. And if you look at the Gators, Braden Rhodes and Grayson Lumley both had good weeks pitching, Braden pitched 5 innings, had 8 strikeouts. Grayson pitched 2 innings with 6 strikeouts. And so we're going to go with Grayson Lumley as our Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week.
You had a Skeens couple of innings there where, I mean, just struck out the side 2 innings in a row.
Yeah, that's a great.
I wouldn't know what that feels like.
No, me either. I've struck out.
I've struck out six straight times, but I've not struck people out.
I've struck out 2 innings in a row. Yeah. You ever been all 3 outs in an inning? Yeah, I have.
So. I was just getting ready to say, I do remember making the first and last out of an inning when I was in high school.
Well, on the flip side of that, the rest of the team's doing pretty good.
That's right. That's right. Hey, somebody's got to end the innings or they'd last forever, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Everybody has a role.
That's yeah. true. Yep, that's true.
That's coaches preach. Know your role. Do your role. So there you go.
There you go.
Rebels, Cody, you starting in the inning.
That's right. Cody's looking at us like, what's a strikeout?
Yeah, he probably never struck out, did he?
Never.
Yeah. But, you know, you got moving on, but just want to mention Grayson Lumley one more time, the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week. We're going to move on to the Costai River Eagles. And, Tony, looks like the Eagles are doing okay, too.
4-3 overall, 2-1 in the league. Beat Cedarville last week, 14-4. That was back on April 1st. Then the Lady Eagles, 1-5, 0-3 in the conference. Lost to Cedarville in a close one, 7-6. So I'll tell you, Coach Barrett's doing a great job of keeping me up to date on what's going on with the Eagle Athletics. Both teams play host to Charleston and Paris this week. And our Union Bank Mena Eagle Player of the Week, we're going to go with Riley Richardson, who went 2-for-3 and recorded 5 outs in the field against Cedarville. But a side note, do you guys play Causatot in baseball?
I don't think so. We do.
No.
This Chris Carterby kid, of course, you've been here, Jeff. We've talked about him, I think, every week. He got the win against Cedarville. He's throwing in the mid-80s right now. So,
pretty good.
Talk about striking out 6 times against somebody.
Yeah. I would not strike out six times against him, me either.
84 miles an hour.
All he'd have to do is hit me once, and I'd be done.
It says 84 miles an hour. Hey, on another side note about that, do not drive 84 miles an hour through the school zone at Costai River. For anybody that might be listening to this, you will get stopped.
You know that from experience, right?
Yes, I was not the driver, though, was I, Cody?
No, you weren't. And I wasn't either. But we saw it happen.
Y'all were there, huh?
We were there.
You were a witness to it. 84?
Probably not that fast, but
fast enough.
It gave me an 800.
Once you get up in that range, I'm not sure. A few miles an hour here.
It doesn't really matter. 80, 82, 84. Yeah. You know, 98's all the same, right?
Yeah.
It's just fast, especially for us. But, Jeff, perfect intro to you. Now we can talk about the Outlaws and the Lady Outlaws.
The Outlaws have won 3 in a row. All 3 conference wins, you know, so that's big for them.
Yeah.
Instead of rambling on like I do a lot of times, I'm going to get some names in, run down a few things. That way we can get on to one of our sponsors and talk a little bit to them.
That sounds great.
In the win, 17-0 win against the Gators, I do want to point out the Outlaws had 14 hits in that ball game.
Did you say 17-0? That's a big win then.
Yeah. And Foreman been playing some
pretty good ball. They have been playing really good ball.
Through the games that they won last week, you know, they had one rained out, but they got 2 in as they traveled to Mountain Pine and won that one. McLean Smith continues to do what he's supposed to at leadoff. He scored 8 runs in those 2 games. Peyton Beckman had 4 RBIs in the game. He had 2 doubles last week. Dylan Moore went 3-for-3 against Mountain Pine. So, you know, they had a pretty productive week. And as you mentioned, they'll take on Horatio, Nevada County, and Cutter Morning Star this week.
Is that anywhere in Nevada County?
Yeah.
Close? Are they close by?
Close.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah, it's close.
It's out around Reno.
Yeah.
Reno 911 if you're going 84 miles an hour.
That's true.
Lady Outlaws still winless on the season, but you can see improvement.
Was the person driving his car today, they listen to the podcast while they'll hear this?
They probably will today.
Oh, there you go. Or,
yeah. She might.
Now I know who it was and why. That doesn't surprise me. That's bred into her.
That's in her blood.
That's right.
Moving on, the Lady Outlaws. Still winless.
We'll talk about that later.
But you can see improvement every game. I mean, they seem to be they make a lot of errors, but they make them at the worst times. You know, with runners on base, and it's not an error to give you a single. It's an error with a runner on second and third, and they score a couple runs on you. I mean, just – but, you know, you can see improvement.
They're young.
Yeah, really young. I mean, and, you know, for the games last week for them, they lost to Foreman Mm-hmm. The Abercrombie girls, she pitched a great game against them. And then Mineral Springs, the Lady Hornets, they have a good pitcher.
They got a good pitcher, too.
And Riley Simmons, she had a couple extra base hits. Aspen Pugh against Mineral Springs, she had a double. And since I like to give her a hard time, if she'd have been hustling, it would have been a triple. I hope she listens. Kristen Eisenhower handling all the pitching duties. You know, she does a good job keeping them in ball games. And the standout last week, I thought the highlight was freshman Claire Stapp hit a home run, her first career home run in high school softball against the Lady Hornets of Mineral Springs. They also play Horatio and Cutter, and then they're in the tournament at Horatio on Saturday. So, and I'm going to go with our Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week. I'm going to go with Peyton Beckman. Two doubles, four RBIs. I mean, good week for
Sounds like
Beckman.
A great week. Yeah.
Catching every game. You know, he's solid at
catching.
He's
a great catcher.
So, and that's going to wrap up Outlaw Sports for this week.
Okay, well, I think that covers all our teams. We got a few more awards to give out. Tony, you got a Toad Thumper Lures Ladies Player of the Week?
I don't.
Well, we're going to have to come up with one. You want me to stop this?
Yeah, I thought
while
you were
going to
stop and we were going to talk about that.
I thought we settled this earlier.
Well, we did. Who is it?
The freshman outlaw, Claire Stapp.
There you go.
First high school home run.
There you go. Claire Stapp of the Lady Outlaw is going to be the Toad Thumper Lures Ladies Player of the Week. And as we look for the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Week, we're going to go with?
Let's go with, I like Grayson Lumley. He's had a great, okay. I can't imagine striking out the side two straight innings. I'm going to go with Grayson Lumley.
Okay. And the Attarose Designs Player of the Area is going to be?
McLean Smith scored 8 runs for the Outlaws last week. Congratulations, young man. Freshman, I believe.
Freshman. UA Cossetot.
I knew it.
Their athletics department, their programs of study offered at UA Cossetot. Go to www.cccua.edu. And then also to the uacossetotcolts.com for their own separate website just for their athletics department. You can go on, support them, say Go Colts on there. And you can even donate straight to the athletics department to help out for their basketball, soccer, and shooting sports that go on all year long. You can find out about all their programs of study offered at UA Cossetot: natural resources, auto and diesel service techs, cosmetology, applied sciences, ag business, all that obviously huge around here. So I know a lot of kids definitely are going to UA Cossetot to get into their ag programs, psychology, middle school education, and so much more. High school programs as well. UA Cossetot offering college level courses that high school students can take even before graduating with their diplomas. Adult education, GED prep, and more also all on the table. And then all the employer resources that you can find on their website, working directly with businesses and industry clients in the area. Internships and apprenticeships all on the table as well. Workforce recruitment is insane. Find the qualified workers you need through UA Cossetot's Virtual Career Center. Mm-hmm. You can find out about all their state scholarships and grants for study, their facility rentals, and more at www.cccua.edu.
Just one thing to talk about really quickly. Right now, they've got open enrollment for their fiber engineer program. That closes April 15th. They're going to start that process. It's a 15-week process. You go through that. People are going to be begging you to go to work.
Absolutely. They have a 100% job place,
job placement.
Thank you very much. UA Cossetot. Make sure you hit up that website, www.cccua.edu.
And that concludes the talk about the high school athletics for this week. We're going to talk about a couple of other things. Looking at Arkansas baseball to start
number out. Number one in every poll that I've seen. Matter of fact, I took a picture last night when I was watching the championship game and off Facebook. Look at all these polls that the Razorbacks are number one. 5 different polls.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did well this week, swept Missouri.
I wish I could play Missouri every series.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean,
got a big series. Got,
what are you doing up there in Missouri, by the way?
I don't,
you're an SEC program. How are you getting beat by 15 runs every game?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't care as long as we're the ones beating them, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, Lady Razorback softball had a good weekend too. They won the series against the number two team, Florida. So first time, that's the highest ranked team they won a series against ever.
And the one game they lost in that series, they probably
should have won. That's right. That's right. So Arkansas baseball doing really well now, but no easy games. No easy games. They got Georgia this weekend in Georgia, so Georgia's supposed to be pretty good. But, you know, just doing a great job, and Dave Van Horn continues to put up impressive numbers. So we'll see how they do. I still think they need to bunt more, but that's just my opinion. They like to swing for the fence.
If you want to watch bunting, go watch girls softball, because there's none in baseball.
That's right. That's right. But now we can talk about – I think y'all probably want to talk about the tournament, right?
And moving on.
Yeah. Greg wins our NCAA Bracket of Integrity Challenge. We knew it was going to be tight. I said last week it'll just depend on how the Final Four shakes out, because we all had, you know, Final Four, and we all had different teams winning it. And since Florida won last night, Greg ends up winning by 15 points because he was up 8. And then
you know what they call that, a blowout.
Congratulations, Greg. I don't think y'all would argue with me saying going into the Final Four weekend, you were the underdog.
Yeah.
I mean, well, absolutely.
In our group text, I put that Greg wins is mentioned about in the same amount of time as France wins.
Yeah. Hey, you're right about that, too. I can't argue that. And, you know, and the thing about it is, I will tell you this, I'll admit this, I probably knew less about college basketball this year than I've ever known.
Well, but it was a great year to know that was to be the case, because it was a lot of chalk. I mean, there was not very many upsets this year. There were no Cinderellas.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I knew less, too. And
Cody, who'd you pick?
Going with the favorites, I had 7 of the 8 and in the Final Four, and
yeah,
then it fell apart.
I picked Duke.
Yeah.
Thanks
well,
a lot.
Well, I mean, hey, you can pick Duke every year, and you're going to do pretty well.
I've won a lot of brackets.
Yeah.
Duke.
Yeah. But, you know, it didn't bother me that they lost, especially the way they lost.
Cody, if he's being honest, he had Indiana State.
he's still picking them, hoping they'll beat Magic Johnson and Michigan State.
I had Indiana State.
Are they still the Sycamores?
I think so.
Are they still the Sycamores?
They are.
Yeah.
They haven't won a tournament game since Bird, I don't think.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, not that I know of. You know,
they played Arkansas in an NIT game probably. It was when I was at Northside, so it was somewhere in the 2012, 13, 14 era. They played Indiana State played Arkansas up at the Palace. And I went up there for that game. Somebody from Northside got me and him a ticket and went up there and watched that. So I do have to watch Indiana State in person.
One thing about Indiana State, they had those sweet powder blue uniforms
before
Ole Miss ever decided to jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
They had some great uniforms.
And they beat Arkansas. Final Four, right? Elite Eight.
Yeah. They did.
Yep.
They beat them in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four.
Yep.
They cheated us.
Yeah, I've heard that 1,000 times.
Yeah, well,
Sidney
they did. I think it
if
was.
You sit on me these podcasts, get used to it.
I think the call was on what's the dude's name that hit the 52-foot shot in
Ronnie
Austin?
Brown.
No, it's before him. I can't remember. He's on those commercials for the
U.S. Reed.
Yeah, U.S.
I
Reed.
I thought he was after all that.
No, he was there.
Okay.
He was a sophomore then. That
Who
year,
we missed
I think.
Out on number 24 on our 24th episode.
We sure did.
Man.
Yeah, but he was.
Hindsight.
Yeah, I know. But there was a call against him right at the end of the game that was a suspect in every Razorback's opinion. So, but, you know, I think. you know, Cindy Moncrief did a better job of slowing Larry Bird down than anybody else did in that tournament.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. And Cindy Moncrief, great defensive player.
I was going to say, that's Bird how he made his 30, name in the NBA was defense.
That's right.
You know.
Bird still had 30, but yeah.
yeah, but he had to shoot 75 times to get it.
Who invited this guy?
I don't know. We'll get to that in a minute.
Well, but that was a great game last night, by the way.
It was a great
game. Yeah, it was a good game to watch.
Yeah, I
got to give my dad credit. Back when there was like 32 teams left, Dad, who watches, I was more basketball than anybody I know, he said Florida's going to win this thing. I said, no way, Greg picked them.
me and Cody were talking about it earlier. I mean, Houston, if you're going to shoot a three-pointer for the win, do you really start that offensive play with 6 seconds left?
No. I mean, I don't know what they were doing.
I don't either. I felt bad for Kelvin Sampson. I mean.
So it's over now.
And you won.
Well, yeah, thank you. You can say that all you want to. It won't hurt my feelings because it won't happen very often. But so here's my question to you. We talked about this some last week. What do y'all think about the refereeing in this tournament?
Well, those guys could come and call games in Southeast Oklahoma and be right at home because it was rough.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, they let them get. I mean, it's too inconsistent.
There were four fouls called in the first half.
Yeah.
On both teams combined, three and one.
Yeah.
And then everybody was in the bonus with 14 minutes to go. In the second. Yeah. Half.
It's like they said, we didn't call enough fouls. And you know, the thing about it is, I don't care what you say. If you, there are so many fouls inside that they don't call because they're body fouls.
Until it's a big moment, like the one on Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
I mean, I am by no stretch of the imagination a Duke fan, but I'm sorry. There was 20 things you didn't call in that game that you thought didn't rise to a foul, and then you called that?
That wasn't a foul.
Some of the fouls that mystify me is some of the hacking that takes place, and then the ball goes out of bounds off of the guy that got hammered.
Yeah.
And
they give it to the other
way.
Uh-huh.
I mean.
Yeah. And the other thing that gets me is the walking they let go. You know, if it's out 20 foot from the basket, they'll let them take four steps
before they dribble.
Uh huh. And I don't know why they do that, but you know, I do know that at least in Arkansas high school athletics, they told them not to emphasize walking.
They did.
Yeah.
Wow.
They told the referees that, you know, basically, don't worry about it. You know, unless it's really bad.
It's like a peewee game.
Well, that's crazy. I mean, you know, that's like saying, well, don't worry about them shooting free throws. Just, you know, if you want to let them do it, but don't. I mean, it's the same thing. There are rules to the game. And you know, people say basketball is a contact sport. Not according to the rules, it's not. It's not supposed to be.
Yeah, I think we're to that point, especially in big games and big tournaments where, especially in like baseball, where why is there a guy calling balls and strikes?
Yeah.
That could easily be done by a computer, and it could be 100% accurate both ways.
Yeah.
And takes all that out of it.
Yeah, and then when I'm calling a game on the radio, I can call the game, too, and referee, and I can be 100%
right. That's right. That's right.
Why do you need some strike guy?
And, you know, they tried that in the minor leagues where they done that a few years ago with the balls and strikes. I'm an old school guy. I want to see a bad call and a manager come out. I mean,
throw his hat.
But, yeah, I mean, you can't let it get so far.
Well, there's already been a game in Major League Baseball where an umpire warned the two teams, you know, in the spring training they were tapping their hat if they wanted a call reviewed and guy would review a ball or strike. And he said now it was kind of a thing that the Major League players, even though there was not a review available, they would tap their hat if they thought it was a bad call just to send a signal to the umpire. And an umpire said, if you do that, I'm going to throw you out of the game. And, you know, where they go back and count how many they missed, he missed 22 pitches.
Wow.
22. Now, there's probably 200 pitches in a game, right? He missed 22 of them, which is 10%. I mean, that's not acceptable.
He's also the guy that was calling fouls in the first half last night.
I just don't get it. I don't know what you do about it, especially in a game like basketball. Of course, you talk about old school. I'm going to go back. I think when there were two guys calling the game, agreed, you had a better call game.
100%.
Yeah, because they lazy and they don't know who's going to call what, so then nobody calls anything.
Yep. Or you have one guy making all the calls, and then when you rotate, the one guy that was making them all is in a different spot, so it screws the whole
thing up. That's right. And
two-man crews.
Yeah, I think two-man crews were much better. I think people paid more attention when they were doing it, and it just worked out better. But anyway, I said my piece on it, so we'll move on from that. But great game last night, though, overall. I think it was, it's interesting to me to say one more thing about that, and then we'll go on, is that, if you remember in the Elite Eight, I believe, Houston won a game with a special play. You remember him talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
And about how great a play it was, and he moves on, and they move on, and Sampson, Coach Sampson, was talking about, well, we do that all the time. Well, they just got the other end of it last night, because that was as horrible as you get. Mm-hmm. In the finals of a national championship game, you got to do better. And I don't think it was defense. Do y'all?
No,
I don't think it was. I think it was just what we used to call it, choked. Yeah, that's what I think happened. They just choked. Anyway, congratulations to Florida. We'll take that SEC because we get extra money for them winning, right? So Arkansas gets paid for that. So we'll take that. So,
the rich get richer.
Yeah, well, that's true everywhere, right?
It is.
We lost the girls one, though.
Yeah.
UConn beat us.
Yeah. And boy, that was I thought that game would be closer.
I was going to say, they didn't just beat them.
No.
That was a beat down.
What was it, 24?
30.
30?
30.
Was it 30?
Yeah.
That's crazy. In the final game, I just thought South Carolina would do better than that. But, hey, you got to give it to Geno. And Paige Becker.
I mean, I know we're ready to move on to other things, but also in that, USC, if their girl doesn't get hurt, knee injury.
Juju.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's probably a different game, probably not the same two teams playing.
Yeah.
But, hey, it happens.
That's right. And,
did you guys see the ratings numbers, though, compared to when Caitlin Clark was playing in the Final Four versus this latest one?
14.2 million down to 4 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was about
10 million people.
Yeah, about 25%, yeah.
Less. Yeah. Yep.
Or more, just 25% of the people were watching, the 75% drop.
Mm. Well, and that's the thing about, that's the thing about when you got somebody like Caitlin Clark, everybody that's associated with women's basketball, wherever they are, ought to be using her as much as they can to promote women's basketball while they can.
That's right.
Because you see what happens when she's not there.
Yeah.
And there's great players playing in that final game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not they just got a tool they can use, and they need to use her instead of beating on her and knocking her down and trying to get rid of her and everything else.
Every hero needs a villain, and then Caitlin Clark, you had the whole Angel Reese side of things.
Yeah.
So, the screenplay was there for all of that.
That's right. That's right. But anyway, I'm all in for girls' sports and basketball, but I think they need to make sure they know, that they've got somebody they can increase their level of viewership, of fans and everything else with her, and they need to do it while they can. Moving on, we'll move on to advertising, and that's something we want to talk about, I'm sure. I'd love to talk about advertising, and we got one of our advertisers in here, and we'll see what he thinks about the Roberto Clemente debacle. Do you know what that is, Tony?
I do not.
Okay. Tony will be glad to fill you in on it.
Well, the Pirates have, when they built PNC Park, they have some tributes to their old players, and one of them in right field is a 21-foot wall. And it's dedicated to Roberto Clemente. And they're
number 21.
Number 21, that's right. And there was on that right field wall, there was a logo, a baseball diamond with the 21 in it. Well, come opening day, and the Pirates home opener was the seventh game of the year. They started the year on the road. People go to the ballpark, and the 21 is gone, and an advertisement for Surfside alcoholic drinks is up there. And, man, the fans let them have it. And I'm taking credit for it. It's been reversed by the Pirates now, by the way, and I'm taking credit for it because I put on Twitter, pathetic, at Surfside Drinks, asked them to put the 21 back up. It's got 161 likes and almost 3,000 views. So I'm taking credit for Clemente's number getting back up on the right field wall, but it just goes to how clueless the Pirates are, and they are clueless. The Steelers are getting there, but the Pirates are clueless. They are inept. Anything you can think of to describe the last 40 years, that's the Pirates. But it also speaks to a generation who doesn't seem to want to pay homage to the past, you know? And how do you take Roberto Clemente's number off his wall, off the Roberto Clemente wall, and put up a Surfside Drinks sign?
And they're not all Roberto Clemente, but every organization has that link to the past.
That's right.
That yeah. they should be.
Well, I actually put on Facebook.
You got me interested in Surfside Drinks.
Yeah, me too. I don't know what those are. We need to check those.
Well, I don't either, but I'll never buy one. And so I put on Facebook, you know, why not dress Willie Stargell's statue out front in a Colonel Sanders suit and advertise for KFC if that's the kind of stuff you're going to do.
Don't give them ideas.
It just enraged me. It enraged a bunch of people, and the Pirates did a quick about face on it. The thing is, it should have never been done to start with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is, what you got is you've got a new generation of people involved in those jobs that are doing PR and advertising and promotion and all that kind of stuff. And you know, you take a 25-year-old guy, what does Roberto Clemente mean to him? I think we all think that everybody that works for any team, and we'll use the Pirates for an example, but everybody that works for the Pirates is going to be a great big baseball fan and a great big Pirates fan and knows that Roberto Clemente was one of the greatest players of all time.
But how many people does this have to go through in the Pirate organization for one person to step in and say, you think this is a good idea?
Yeah.
Let's think this through a little bit. Maybe we should ask somebody.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a good idea. The only thing I'm saying is, and I know I sound like my grandfather, but the world's going to hell in a handbasket. So that's what he used to tell me all the time, you know. And that
was 60 years ago.
Yeah, right. And it's been going that way, and it still is. So, but the thing about it is, I think that the things that we think are important are not important to some of those kids.
You're right, though, Tony. They're clueless.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point somebody wants to rename the Pirates because they're named after, you know, people that would rob people in the ocean.
That's exactly. That's
what you're saying.
So, unbelievable. So y'all are saying the handbasket's getting full.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's getting full. That's for sure. Want to just mention real quickly, got a big golf tournament this weekend. Got a big golf tournament next weekend.
Yeah,
two big golf tournaments. You want to talk about the one next weekend first?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, just talk about it a little bit.
Derek's Athletic Booster Club,
third annual.
President of the Booster Club sitting here to my left.
Mm-hmm.
Vice President.
Yeah.
April 19th.
April 19th, three-person scramble. You know, this will be third year.
It's our biggest fundraiser.
Yeah. Are you full?
We've got room for four teams, I believe, right now.
Okay.
So, and
weather's supposed to be nice.
You guys are playing, right?
I am. He's not. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we've got room for a few teams. Anybody out there listening wants to play or knows somebody? I mean, the information's on Facebook. Reach out to us. Go ahead.
Well, it's a really good tournament. I mean, honestly, we give away $3,000-$4,000 in door prizes.
Everybody got a door prize except for Jeff and me.
We'll get you this year,
don't worry. Isn't that right, Tuttle?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all
Tony got two.
Listen, I go.
Did you get one at all?
No.
I go and buy some of the door prizes at the golf store, which we give away a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. But I always pick out a driver I'd like to have, a wedge, a putter.
Just in case you win?
Yeah. I mean, now I get right-handed because I know I'm not going to win. But they have told me I can exchange them for left-handed. So
if he does win,
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a great time, and it's the biggest fundraiser of the year for the Outlaw Booster Club. And if you've got any interest in golf, come on out, because like you said, everybody wins.
Or if you want to be a sponsor.
Yeah, or you want to be a sponsor.
We'll take all the sponsors we can get. So. Yeah. And, I mean, and they've come on board. They do every year. I mean, we've got a lot of support. Athletics at Derrick's, they have a lot of people supporting them, and we just appreciate all of them.
Absolutely.
That's great. So that's 2 weeks. But this weekend, the Masters, and I saw yesterday where none of the you couldn't get on the course to watch the practice round yesterday because of the storms and stuff. You know, the stuff we went through this weekend, it's going through there. And so they...
Before we get into who we think might win or want to win, I didn't realize until I was reading something the other day, and I consider myself an above-average golf fan. I keep up with a lot of stuff. Augusta National closes the course like a month after the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Even members can't get on that course preparing it for the next year. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know a lot of courses close their course, you know.
For a while, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they do it for nearly a year.
Yeah. But you know the best thing about the Masters?
Tomorrow.
Concession prices.
That and par three contest tomorrow. I love the par three contest.
Yeah. Who do you think will win that?
Tony Finau.
I was picking him to win the whole thing. So if he wins a par three, he can't win the whole thing because nobody's ever done that.
Well, if he's leading a par three on number nine, he'll let his wife hit a tee shot so he's ineligible to win it.
You remember when he hit a hole in one and broke his ankle and then played. He popped it out and popped it back in and still played. That's crazy.
So he's your pick to win the whole thing?
Yeah, that's who I'm picking to win it.
Well, I'm going to
– going out on a limb.
I'm going to pick Scheffler, but I want Rory. I want McIlroy to win it. I want him to get the career Grand Slam. And
yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Who do you guys, Tony?
DeChambeau.
They letting him play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm looking at the odds here, and he's five down in odds to win it.
I'm going to go with Greg Norman or Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods is playing.
Phil Mickelson, too, and you can just have the trio.
Let's put some money on that. Loser buys.
Well, Tiger Woods, you know, you never know. He's probably playing.
Ruptured Achilles.
Yeah,
he's not playing.
No. Yeah, you can't have him. You're going to have to take somebody else. Sorry, Norman. Cody. Well, so
Mickelson has 8,000-to-1 odds.
He is playing.
Yeah, he's playing.
It may be worth putting $10 on him.
He's got a green jacket. He can play anytime he wants until he
can't play.
Gets as old as Miller Barber from Texarkana.
Yeah, he played till he died, didn't he? Well, then he played a couple of years after that.
He's the reason they quit letting him play every year, because he would go out and shoot like 90-something the first 2 days. I mean, he was like 86 years old. He was not even shooting his age, and I can do that. Maybe not at Augusta.
You can shoot your age? Or you can shoot his age?
I can shoot my age on nine through nine holes.
Oh, okay.
You were doing the math in your head, wasn't you?
Yeah, I don't know that he can do that. I'll give it to him, though.
We may have a little challenge going here.
Yeah, he's older than I think he is.
Head over to Nashville and see.
Yeah, that's right. We'll go out there to the Queen and see what you shoot.
You play the front nine or the back nine.
Yeah. You can bail hay. But anyway, it should be a great weekend for golf. I think the weather should be good there. So,
two exciting weekends of golf coming up.
Yeah, that's right. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the Booster Club. And Cody, just want to give you a minute. We appreciate you sponsoring us and letting us talk about the kids all the time. But you want to talk about Toad Thumper Lures just for a minute?
Yeah, sure. We started, 2 years ago. We've grown rapidly. It's been really great, from the time we started until now. We've gotten in about over 2,000 stores now, 47 different states. We've launched more new products in the past 4 months than we have ever, and very exciting. So we appreciate you guys helping us.
You're in Walmart, right?
Yeah.
And you're looking for a fisherman to be to work for you, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, yeah. All I've got's a 10-foot John boat. Is that okay?
That'll work.
Yeah.
That'll work.
but I mean, you know, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, you know, Bassmasters, all that, you know, you're in all that stuff. And the lures are really great. They really are.
How many, guys y'all have on board, like, you know, your fishermen?
We've got, you know, the fishing thing is, it's tough when you start sponsoring a lot of guys because they want a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so a lot of companies before us that built their brand really fast, like Sixth Sense and Googan and some, they didn't do any sponsoring of anybody. And so we have done some, but not as much as some companies, and it's paid off. We've got a ton of marketing though other ways. My partner on Toad Thumper, Cody Cannon, has helped with a lot of stuff through Whiskey Riff and Hook and Barrel magazine. Jaron Tipton runs our operations, and he's done an incredible job on getting additional distribution without a lot of marketing. So it's been great.
Speaking of your partner, Cody Cannon, a lot of people might not recognize the name, but I bet they've heard his voice. You want to tell some people maybe who he is?
Yeah, he's the front man for a band called Whiskey Myers.
Yeah.
And they've done really well also the last few years. But his real passion is fishing and fishing lures. So it's been a good combo.
Which means he's a great singer.
That's right.
If you can have a passion for fishing and fishing lures, you got to be a great singer.
Yeah.
That's kind of like having a passion for farming.
That's right.
If you got a passion for farming, you better be good at something else. Because you're going to spend a lot of money.
That's kind of like ties in golf. I had somebody ask me years ago, back when I played a lot of golf, and they said, why do you not fish? And I said, a guy can only afford one.
That's
golf
right.
Or fish. You
that's
can't
right.
do both.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, you know, what's interesting about Toad Thumper is, like, I was looking at Facebook the other day, and Jimmy Sharp, you know Jimmy,
yeah.
Referees and you know, been a friend of mine since we went to school together, grew up together, and he had a big bass and said he was using a Toad Thumper lure. You know,
yeah.
So that's some good advertising right there.
Well, absolutely. My brother lives in Winchester, Virginia, and my nephew, his son, is an avid fisherman. Shout out to Cole. And he got so excited when he's coming through Derek's to see us for Christmas that he went by Toad Thumper lures.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that is really cool.
That's great.
Big sign on the storefront there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the warehouse is full. Well, we're probably about to expand. We're looking for new buildings now, honestly. We'll keep that building, but we're going to have to add something else.
Well, that's great. We can help you out with that. We'll find
okay.
something for you.
Great.
Yeah, that'd be great. So I just want to give you an opportunity. Anything else you want to talk about Toad Thumper?
No.
Uh-uh. Okay. Well, if you're looking for a good lure, go find you a Toad Thumper lure. They're really good lures. And
invite us to the fish
fry. Yeah, that's right. That's all we want to do is eat. But Cody, just want to give you an opportunity. You know, we missed you because your wife wouldn't let you come on the episode that you wanted to come on. So
right.
Speedy, we'll just start calling her Speedy.
I think we were going to call her out just like that.
Made him leave the country. Made him leave the country.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she
so
didn't
he
want him over here.
Larry Bird.
I could have done the Larry Bird podcast. But yeah. I had to go to the Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah, man.
I tell you,
I would have missed it to go to the Bahamas too. So we'll let you talk about Larry Bird though, since we're only off a couple of weeks, so you know, we're going to limit you. You only got an hour, but if you want to give your argument about why he's the best basketball player ever, I would like to hear that.
I mean, you know, most people say Jordan, but head to head, you know, Bird won, and it's hard to dispute that. You know, when you get swept twice, when Jordan got swept twice by Bird in the playoffs. I don't know what else anybody's looking at. Do y'all?
I think the amount of help when that happened probably was in Bird's favor.
Yeah, it was.
How many Hall of Famers played with Bird?
Well, he did have some, but the difference in his Hall of Famers and Jordan's Hall of Famers, I don't think there's any question.
How many Hall of Famers did Jordan have? One.
No. Rodman, Pippen. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Well, back when the Celtics were
Bill Winnington
were beating them,
he also had Robert Parrish,
who will never be recognized on the podcast because he was double zero.
That's right.
Yeah,
we'll never have that.
Anymore. We'll have to start with zero when we go into next season.
Yeah,
Robert season.
Yeah,
week zero.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh. Robert Parrish. Robert,
well, you just opened a can now.
Yeah, Robert Parrish actually played at Centenary.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did?
The Gold Dome.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did. That's where he played.
What they called it down there, the Gold Dome.
Yeah, they do. But the Celtic team's great, and Larry Bird, great basketball player. I'm not going to argue with you. But I I'll use your argument about
Cody is right. I'm looking it up here. 34 times they met. You know, their teams met.
Yeah,
and the Celtics won 23 of those 34.
Yeah. But as you said about how Cindy Moncrief shut Larry Bird down, when I said that, what'd you say?
He's still at 30.
And what did Michael Jordan have against Larry Bird? Was it 63?
He did.
Yeah, okay.
But
here goes the but now. There wasn't any but before.
He was a very similar player to Jokic. And a lot of people, you know, today they look back and think, well, you had this slow white guy, big white guy. And if you start thinking about Luka and Jokic and some of these guys, and you say, okay, during that same game, Bird had 30, but he also had 12 rebounds and 8 assists. And Jordan had 64 points and 3 assists.
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind you've got to give Bird and Magic credit for saving the NBA. We might not have the NBA now, at least the way we know it, if Bird and Jordan – or Bird and Magic don't come along.
Agree.
And what I was going to say about Bird, you know, they show all the highlights, those passes he made. Oh. I love to watch him pass the ball.
Yeah.
And I've told Cody this, you know, I was never the biggest Larry Bird fan until towards the end of his career. And you really appreciated what he's doing. The guy's having to lay on the court on the sidelines on his back because he was in such bad shape. Mm-hmm. I mean, hurting. And he still went out and done it every chance he got.
I don't think there's any question, though, that a Jordan or maybe even Bird would dominate today's NBA. I mean, if you take – people argue about the size and all this stuff, and it's really not. I mean, it's – guys worked harder. They practiced more. I mean, it was just
– Well, I think one of the things you see about today's NBA, and it even goes down to high school – you know, it's something I've told my granddaughter. I said, you need to learn how to shoot a 15-foot shot off the board.
100%.
Have you ever seen any kids do that? No. They want to dunk it, or they want to shoot a 30-foot three-pointer. They don't even want to shoot from the line.
Most high school kids can't dribble with their offhand.
No.
They can't shoot a left-handed layup.
That's right.
I know we don't cover them on our high school teams, but Cody's seen this too. Not necessarily this year, but the two or three previous years, Akron, girls and boys, settle for that 10 to 12 footer and that's have tough. Wore us out. I mean, you're getting two every trip down the court. We'll get three once every three trips down the court, maybe.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
That's a game changer.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is it's like, you know, you watch – you know, we've watched a lot of teams play, and most of them play man-to-man defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lady Leopards did not, most of the time anyway.
Right.
But a lot of teams play man-to-man. But, you know, the teams that are running offense against man, they don't set a screen.
They don't set a screen.
Well, if you don't – I mean, how are you – you know, unless you're quicker at every position, and then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you're not – how are you gonna beat that without setting screens?
That's right.
You know,
another thing about the 80s is, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the rules were different. You could double team. So after, and I hate to dig Jordan again, but in 91 or 92, they changed it. I think 90 or 91, they changed it where you couldn't double team anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so you had this kind of stuff where those guys were playing against. You know, if you're the best player on the team, you're getting double teamed.
Right.
You could hand check then.
Yeah.
Longer than you could.
Yeah.
The 3-point line was further back. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that was a little different.
Yep. Yep. Well, and you know, and I think I'm with Tony 100%. If it wasn't for you know, and you had some other players in there that not as major of a role, but still the renaissance of NBA basketball. You know, I'm old enough to remember watching it in the mid-70s. And it was like playing in a bar. I mean, there wasn't good lighting, you know. I mean, you know, then it was smoky. I think they smoked in there and everything else. Didn't they, Tony?
It's like Jackie Moon stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and they'd come out, and I mean, it was like, it was just crazy. And then when they came, they blew it out of the water, changed the whole thing for the next two decades. Now, in my opinion, it's going back to the way it was.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the only difference is in the 70s, they didn't have enough promotional sense to have a big party at every game, and that's what they do now.
That's right.
Whether it's college or pros or whatever, you know, I went to a Dallas Cowboys game in the mid 70s, and I was so disappointed. You know, it was 14. The game was where they beat the Eagles 14-7, and I'd been wanting to go forever. You know, I've been a fan forever, which I don't know why. We'll talk about that later. Different story. But you know what happened is. You know, you'd have, you know, during the timeouts, nothing went on. You know, and so you'd have a 3 or 4 minute timeout so they could show commercials. And back then, they just did nothing.
Yeah.
Hollywood Henderson over hitting on the cheerleaders. And he'd run back out, but, you know, then there's 30 seconds left, and he'd get back out there, back and forth. You know, that's the only kind of thing that went on. You go to a game now, there's something going on every second when there's not a play going
on. That's right.
And so they've really done a good job of doing that stuff.
Back in the day, you had to love football to go to a game.
Yeah.
And today, you could be just, like, fun.
Yeah.
Not even pay attention to the actual game.
Well, that's right. It's just kind of a secondary thing. It's same way with basketball.
But hadn't that mindset and ticket prices taken a lot of the real football fan out of? I know at least back home people complain that, you know, ticket prices are way out of reach for the regular fan, and the person who can afford to go isn't necessarily a big fan, you know?
I think there's some truth to that.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, I think one of the things you look at when you look at a football game, you know, my wife asked me, she said, how do people afford season tickets to the Cowboys? And I said, the only way, you know, of course, those games are on Sunday. So my answer was, they're giving all their money to them instead of giving it to the church. They don't go to church. That's where they go, and that's where they spend their money.
Well,
and I may be wrong about that.
I had season Steeler tickets for a long time, and then now my son has the tickets and lives in Pittsburgh, so it works out good for him. But you got to sell some of your games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he does pretty well, but he still sells the games he ain't going to. He can get a premium price. Even for the Steelers now, as bad as they are.
Yeah.
How did your quarterback try out with the Steelers, Goja?
They turned me away at the door. They looked at me and said,
he wore his Green Bay hat.
They said, we see your weight, but you're too short to be Jared Lorenzen.
So. Oh, my lands. Talk about a debacle.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, last thing I saw, you know, and it was on Facebook, so it's got to be true, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott's going to the Steelers.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd take it. I'd take it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're looking at Mason Rudolph straight in the face being our quarterback next year.
That's not going to happen.
And he's not even the most famous Rudolph out there. That would be a reindeer.
That's right.
Holy Mac! I don't know what the Steelers are doing.
Nobody else
does. Don't know
does
what the Pirates are doing.
They must. They must know something that we don't know. They've got a plan. They got to have a better plan than Mason Rudolph.
Well, if your whole plan's based on what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, well, I mean, you know that guy. He's liable to just, you know, go off somewhere and not be heard from for a month. You know, nobody know where he is. You know, and that this is who you, this is your linchpin of your quarterback plan.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they need some help, I'm sure Jerry Jones would give them a little bit.
The Cowboys actually made a good move over the last week or so. Got that Melton kid. He was from the Patriots?
Yeah.
They say he can throw the ball further than anybody in NFL. Yeah, he can throw the ball like 80 yards.
He's a big kid. Played at Michigan.
Played real well in the one game he played in last year. So they let Cooper Rush walk, right? The Ravens got him. The Ravens, whoever's signing people for the Ravens knows what they're doing.
Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah. And then so they got him to be their backup quarterback. And
Trey Lance went to San Diego Chargers.
You're right.
Yeah. So, but the thing about it is, you know, I think that one of the things about that is, what was the guy's name, Russell, that played for LSU?
Jamarcus
Russell. Russell. Yeah. He could throw it about 70 yards, too.
Yeah,
you know, but he also could eat about 70 yards of hot dogs too.
And right now he sounds like a good option for the Steeler quarterback in 2025.
Or the line. He could be the line.
Yeah. I mean, we all make fun of Dak a lot. I do a lot too.
Yeah.
Tyler's worked out before with Dak and Trey Lance and some of those guys. And like, there's no comparison. Dak is very skilled.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's throwing 60-yard dots, one after the other. And Trey Lance isn't, by the way. I mean, it's you can noticeably see, like, these guys are on the same level. But they get in the game, and especially in pressure, and I think Dak just
– I think a change of scenery would do Dak a tremendous amount of good.
I agree.
I think
changing coaching wouldn't hurt either.
Well, he got a change in coaching. Now, I'm not sure it's an upgrade, but it's a change.
No, I'm talking about another one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they say Tomlin's a player's coach, maybe to his detriment. So,
well,
maybe there's something to it because the Cowboys are cash strapped, salary cap strapped, and maybe there is something to it. That was part of the Cooper Rush thing. Yeah, Cooper Rush, believe it or not, got a 2-year, $12 million deal. The guy they got from the Patriots is still on his rookie deal. He's making less than $1 million, so that saved the Cowboys $5 million a year, which seems to be what they're all about now.
And it may be. I think it goes back to what we talked about. You know, when you weren't putting on a show, you had to have football. Now I'm not sure you have to have great football.
I agree.
People go for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. The money they're saving on players, the Cowboys, they can spend on these country music artists to perform before the game or at halftime.
Yeah. And you get Dolly Parton to put on and so you can get a meme out of that. This is the Cowboy cheerleader last time they won the Super Bowl, She almost fell down four times, by the way. But the thing about it is that it's all about the show. And I think, obviously, as a good businessman, the bottom line's what you're looking at. But if you're going to be in sports, in order, you've got to win some games.
Yeah.
Now, so my question, forget about the Cowboys because I think they're a different entity to themselves almost. But like, look at the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they have, for lack of a better term, screwed it up every way you could screw it up. So how do they stay where they're at and pay the players they're playing? They've got to have – people are going to see the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're going
for. Oh, the Browns don't have any trouble selling tickets.
No. And of course they did win a little bit when they had Baker Mayfield. Of course they got rid of him. But, I think that's the same thing with everybody else. I mean, you go to Las Vegas, Raiders are going to sell out.
Yeah.
But they're not going to win.
Well, and I think these owners – I mean – the Steelers haven't had a ticket available on game day since 1972. As an owner, do you say, well, it doesn't matter what I do. Why am I wringing my hands,
Right.
Yeah, well, I would think the Rooneys want to win. I do think that. Now, I think they want to win in a manner that is financially feasible. They're not going to do what Cleveland's done and get 14 quarterbacks and pay them $28 million each a year.
But you got to have a quarterback.
You got to have a quarterback.
Yeah. Right. I think the Steelers went too far the other way thinking that, and it just proves how good Roethlisberger was. I don't even think I realized how good Ben Roethlisberger was. And now until he's gone.
Sure.
Because I mean, you got to have somebody back there that the defense is afraid of.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Anybody got anything else before we go? We probably rambled on long enough for this week. I just want to, before we go, want to thank all our sponsors for all they do. Without them, we couldn't do this. We thank all the coaches and all play-by-play guys, especially Jim Cross. Thank him. Remember him this week as he's on his 30-mile walk. Don't forget
about Tuttle leading the way.
Yeah, Tuttle's going to lead the way for the first 400 feet.
I'm like the torch carrier.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand it off to somebody else.
Yeah. I got you. Really quickly. Yeah. If you got a lighter, so you can light it, right? You probably got a lighter, right?
Probably.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just figured you'd had one. Okay, so anyway, that's this weekend. Remember Jim and just appreciate him for all he does for his community. Weekend after that, on the 19th, we're going to have the Outlaw Booster Club golf tournament over at Glenwood. If you want to play golf, that's a great place to be. It's a really, really good tournament. Have a good time, and basically almost everybody gets a prize.
Yeah, and don't expect to win because my scorecard's already filled out.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I don't even think
you want to tell us what you got to be.
I'm not going
to
tell you what was shot.
I don't believe that he can fill it out that low.
Somebody else filled it out.
Yeah, he can't even write those smaller numbers on there because he didn't know it was possible to make that.
I made a hole in one, Greg.
Yeah, I know you did. I've heard about it 14 times and heard other people talking about it. That was in a different life, though, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But anyway, don't forget about that tournament on the 19th. If you want to play, contact Tuttle, contact Cody, contact somebody with the Dierks Booster Club. Everybody in Dierks is involved in it pretty much. So they can get you in touch with who you need to get in touch with and be ready to have a great time. They have a good time, and it's a lot of fun to play. So if you can play, come out and play. But we also want to lastly thank the kids. They're the reasons we do this, and we appreciate them and their efforts they put into it. Have a great week, kids, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.